Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Buster, how are you doing today? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, I want to start. You got to see it in action on Sunday, watching the Dodgers take on the Padres, and Padres come back from six runs down, score two in the seventh, two in the eighth, two in the ninth. They add some in the 11th there. What was your impression of this ball club?
It was so much fun. And it's pretty clear that they absolutely believe that they can beat the Dodgers. And you could see that in the way the games were playing out. You know, the Padres speed, the energy that was there, it was tremendous. And it was so good that, you know, I was there doing the game. We're in the 10th inning, and my cell phone dings with a text message, and I didn't recognize the number right away. It was a 602 number, and, you know, I'm going about my business, and the game ends, and I went back and scrolled back and was wondering who texted me, and the words were, "Padres, Dodgers, I could watch this 162, LOL," and I looked down, and it's Charles Barkley. Okay, and he was totally impressed with what he was seeing, and he loved the energy level. And, you know, I had him on the podcast today to elaborate more on that. And look, if you can capture the imagination of Charles Barkley on one end and my 16-year-old son, who is a sports-crazy person on the other end, I got home and he was talking about this series, you really have something.
Buster, it is great. Padres, Dodgers, the theater's been spectacular for seven games. I guess that's the good news for Major League Baseball. The bad news is they only get to play 12 more times, and there's a whole bunch of other games that have to be played along the way. Where is Major League Baseball going in terms of trying to get a whole bunch more games like this, and what can they do?
Well, first off, I really hope that with the current CBA set to expire, that they are able to, you know, have some progress, have some collaboration, have some cooperation, and market the players in a way that would be productive for everybody. You know, I mean, Fernando Tatis Jr. is so much fun, and Ronald Acuna Jr. of the Braves is so much fun. They have tremendous opportunities, I think, to market players. I also think, look, pace is an issue. And it feels like that every night when you're watching games, as soon as the relievers get involved, the games just stop. For whatever reason, the culture in the sport has evolved to the point where, you know, relievers are taking 30 to 45 seconds between pitches. You feel it when you're watching the game, and that's the type of thing that would turn off a Charles Barkley or my 16-year-old son.
Right. Buster, I mean, why do you think it's been such a difficult task for baseball to market their players? I mean, you look across the other sports, it seems to be their bread and butter. But in baseball, for whatever reason, it's been a struggle at times. Why do you think that is?
Because I don't think there's any collaboration and cooperation between the two sides. Everything between the Player Association and Major League Baseball is a fight. The amazing thing is it really does feel like that in some respects. That, you know, even though there's not a coordinated effort, that, you know, a lot of fans clearly do know about Fernando Tatis Jr. They are responding to a guy like Acuna. And in part, I think because those guys have stepped out and they've demonstrated the willingness that they're going to wear microphones. Look, you know, we do these in-game interviews on Sunday Night Baseball, and we've gotten Francisco Lindor and Tim Anderson and Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. You know, the individual player cooperation has been tremendous. You guys have seen the, you know, the back and forth between Anthony Rizzo and Freddie Freeman. You know, Frederick running him down. But none of that is really something that is a result of collaboration and cooperation. And shoot, you think back to the NBA when it exploded in the 80s, it was because everybody worked together. Baseball needs that.
Buster Olney of ESPN is with us talking some grand old game here on the Gwynn and Chris show on this Padres off day. And one of the things I've noticed on the Sunday night telecast, on just about everything I'm watching now, is the new proliferation of quasi-gambling, Buster. Whether it's putting a poll up during the game, is this guy going to get on base? Is he going to get a walk? Is he going to strike out? Going to make contact, et cetera? Send in your prediction or whatever it is. Is this a rising thing that baseball, a train that baseball should be hopping aboard?
I will answer it this way, and I'm going to tell you flat out. Like, I am not, you know, I've never really enjoyed gambling. I've never gotten involved in gambling. I don't know how it works. But I will tell you this, based on my conversations with people at the team level, it's going to be so inherent in what how the sport operates moving forward that you're going to be amazed. It's going to be times 10 where you might be sitting in your seat, you know, in section 111, seat 2, and you might have a device which allows you to roll your credit card through and say, yeah, I'm going to bet that Anthony Gwynn is going to hit a home run in this plate appearance. That's how, in 10 years, how much a part of the game it'll be, which is amazing for all of us older folks who, you know, grew up with tales about the Black Sox of 1919 and the rules being hung up where players and anyone caught with gambling and, you know, Pete Rose getting kicked out of the sport. It's going to be a culture shock, and you got to believe at some point that there is going to be there are going to be some questions about it.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. You're just talking about how the players and the owners can't seem to get on the same page. Maybe that's the one force that could bring them together is the pot that sits at the end of the rainbow as it pertains to this gambling thing, because it seems like it's becoming – I never thought I'd see a day in which you'd see a poll like that and, you know, somebody wouldn't bat an eye at it. But it seems to be more prevalent, Buster. It seems like it's on its way, as you said.
100%, and I think you're right. You know, when we talk about – and I really feel like that – and we've seen this with the reduction in salaries for the players in the last 5 years since the last CBA, that the sport in some respects has been damaged, and we do need more contact. From the player's perspective, this is the potential golden goose, a way for it to grow. And it will be interesting to see what sort of conversations the two sides have about how to make that happen. But this is absolutely a part of the future of the sport.
Buster, one last thing for me, just back on the field a little bit. Right now the Dodgers-Padres situation is – The fray has been joined, at least for the moment, by the San Francisco Giants, and I know it's April. Give me a couple of teams in April that you're stunned by, and give me a team or two in April that could be in a little trouble going forward, teams that we thought were going to be good that things aren't playing out so well.
I'm shocked by the Giants. Absolutely shocked. Look, they the investments they made in their rotation, guys like Kevin Gausman, were all on one-year deals. In part because I think the internal plan was, okay, we probably aren't going to contend this year. You got the Dodgers, you got the Padres. We'll develop these pitchers and we'll flip them in midseason trades. The way it's going now, they might be hanging on to these guys and adding around them. And that the Giants are the most shocking team to me on the plus side. And on the negative side, I live here in New York, the Yankees are not playing well and they look bad. To the point, and we saw this week, and it actually probably didn't get as much attention as it should have, you could tell the front office this week was, you know what, enough. And they're in the process of making big changes. For example, Gary Sanchez, their all-star catcher, he basically has been put into a backup role. And moving forward, when you look at the way the trade market could play out, who could be available? If you told me that Trevor Story was on the Yankees at the end of the year, that would not shock me. I think that those two teams, you know, have a potential match there, and the Yankees front office will be looking to upgrade to make up for the slow start because they look bad.
Do they move Torres back to second base if that's the case? It seems like ever since he's made that move, He hasn't been the same guy. If they can get a story, is Torres in a deal like that, or can they afford to just keep him on the squad and move him to second?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what would happen, move him to second. I think the Yankees convinced themselves that he could be a shortstop. And the first year they asked him to do it, he was okay. This year he just doesn't look – he's just not good enough.
Yeah.
If you're going to play championship caliber, you need a shortstop who's better. And if you're the Yankees, you know, maybe you're willing to step out, make a trade with the Rockies to bring over Trevor Story, not only to try to help you this year, but also to get that exclusive negotiating window before he becomes a free agent in the fall. And you just leave Torres at second base with DJ LeMahieu moving around the infield.
One last thing for me, Buster, and I want to go back to that Sunday night game because you seem to be impressed by the way the Padres moved around the bases. That's a clear advantage they have considering how the rest of the league really runs bases and uses guys on the bases on the base paths. Do you think that could be an advantage for them later on in the season?
Enormous. And you know, in talking with Charles today, the comparison I made, and you guys, if you follow college basketball, you see the University of Virginia Cavaliers. They play a completely different style, big time defense. And you could see other teams are unnerved by it because they don't face that sort of aggressiveness on a daily basis. Well, watching the Dodgers, okay, all these guys who played in the postseason, who have experience, who've dealt with a lot of things in their careers, to see how unnerved they were by the movement the Padres were putting out there, that was just a preview into a weapon that I think the Padres have that other teams don't have. And it's not only about, you know, having a fast guy like Fernando Tatis Jr. or Mateo, but, Anthony, you know this far better than I do, it's also having the ability to recognize opportunities like Austin Barnes. He does a lot of things well for the Dodgers. He does not throw well.
Yeah.
When Jimmy Nelson was on the mound the other night, he couldn't hold runners. And you could see the Padres are poised to recognize and take advantage of that on a regular basis in a way that other teams aren't in this age of analytics.
Yeah, certainly a weapon that you don't see utilized very much in the league. Buster, certainly appreciate your time coming on today, man, and hopefully we get to catch up again soon.
That'll be fun, guys.
Thanks, Buster.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.